Welcome to the quarterly All-EN call. Today's conference is being recorded. At this time, I would like to turn the conference over to Robert Paff. Please go ahead.
Thank you, and good afternoon, everyone, or good morning. Thank you for joining us for the quarterly All-EN call. We appreciate your time, and we welcome you to the call. Wanted to open with a couple of announcements. We have a actually really informative call today. So we're glad that you're participating. Just by means of starting, we do have a leadership change announcement to make. So as you may have known, Mark Wachowski was our deputy commissioner for disability and retirement programs. Our organization falls under his leadership. And he resigned his position in January. We have a new leader who has been appointed by the new administration. Her name is Kilolo Kijakazi, and she has quite an impressive resume. I won't be able to read all of the accomplishments that she has, but I'll just go over a couple of things to share with you. She was formerly a program officer for 11 years in the Financial Assets Unit of the Economic Opportunity and Assets Program at the Ford Foundation. She's a board member of the National Academy of Social Insurance. She spent 6 years as a senior policy analyst at the Center on Budget and Policy Priorities, specializing in Social Security. And prior to that, she was a policy analyst for the U.S. Department of Agriculture. She's also an Institute Fellow at the Urban Institute, so we welcome her and look forward to working with her. Just to let you know, we have no other leadership changes associated with this. So the commissioner remains in the job, and also all of our leadership stays essentially in place. Susan Wilski is still the associate commissioner for ORDES, Officer Research and Demonstration. Officer Research Demonstration Employment Support, which the ticket program is operated from. And I remain in my job. All of our leadership stays as is, but we wanted to share that with you. The next thing we wanted to share with you was in regards to the ticket program manager contract. We really don't have anything to announce regarding that contract being awarded. That is still in the works, and we're navigating through some technical aspects with that. Of course, once we have something to announce, we will certainly share that with you. The next thing I wanted to share with you is some very preliminary plans for SSA to host an employment summit. This would follow up on our employment support summit that we held in June of 2019. And the idea, one thing that we gleaned from the employment support summit that was held at SSA way back in the pre-COVID days was the need to try to link jobs closer to the program and closer to the beneficiaries that you're serving. So we're interested in engaging employers. We're interested in engaging third-party organizations that work with employers to place individuals with disability into employment. So if you have any ideas or thoughts regarding that, please feel free to email me. We are in the early stages of this, so we're doing some outreach and discussions with organizations and so forth. But we will give you more information regarding this as it progresses. We are projecting holding a virtual event perhaps sometime in the summer, but we, again, will have information to share with you on that as it goes along. If you have ideas, if you have relationships with employers, if you're aware of things that would be helpful, as I said, you can email me directly, robert.paff, P-F-A-F-F, at ssa.gov. And that's everything that I have on my end. I'm going to hand it off briefly to Laura York, who's going to introduce our next speaker. Laura?
Thank you, Rod. Our next speaker is Yanya Taylor. She works for the Office of Communications, specifically the Office of External Affairs, and she is going to talk to us very briefly about my SSA accounts and the things that you can do with them, the things that your beneficiaries can do with them. Yanya is very informed on the more utilitarian aspects of the account. She's not a technical expert. If you do have technical questions about my SSA accounts, I do have a number for you. And again, when I do provide this number, it is not kind of the end-all be-all for technical support. We expect to have more information about that in the near future, but the number that I'm going to provide will just the person that you speak to there will be able to help you with some basic troubleshooting of the account. So that number, if you're interested, is 1-800-772-1213. And again, that's for basic troubleshooting information for my SSA account. And now I'll turn it over to Deandra.
Thank you, Laura, and thank you for having me here today. It is always a pleasure to speak about my SSA account, so I'm happy to spend some time with you all today. Commissioner Saul has made the creation of my SSA accounts a top priority for the agency. He's actually tasked us to do, I believe, nearly 50 million signups, a very, very ambitious goal, so I'm happy to be able to share a little bit of information with you all today. Next slide, please. Next slide, please. I'll just keep going. My Social Security, of course, just a quick overview, is just a convenient and secure suite of services designed to put you in control of your personal Social Security information, as well as help you manage your benefits when you are ready. Your account gives you the information you need whenever you want, all without calling or visiting a field office. Next slide. My SSA account is beneficial for members of the public who are receiving benefits and those who are not. So just briefly, what can you do with the My Social Security account? Your My Social Security account provides a wealth of information to help you and your family plan for your financial future. And if you receive benefits or have Medicare, there's a long list of things that you can accomplish. Just some of the things that you can do, of course, are opting out of mail notices, replacing your Social Security card if needed based on certain requirements. You can report wages if you work and receive disability insurance, SSDI, and, of course, SSI, Supplemental Security Income Benefits. You can obtain a benefit verification letter, and I'll talk about that a little later. You can check your benefits and payment information and your earnings record. You can change your address and phone number, start or change your direct deposit, submit your advanced designation of representative payee request. Of course, advanced designation is something new that we just started about a year ago. Request a replacement Medicare card and obtain a replacement SSA 1099 or SSA 1042S for tax season. Next slide, please. There are also things, as I mentioned earlier, that you can do if you do not receive benefits. You can still view your retirement estimates. So I'm using one of my many retirement calculators. You can view your possible spouse's benefits, which is a new feature that we've added recently. You can request a replacement Social Security card still if you meet certain requirements. You can check the status of your application or appeal. And you can also obtain a benefits verification letter, proof that you're not receiving benefits, and obtain your Social Security statement to review your estimates of future retirement, disability, and survivor benefits, your earnings once a year to verify the amounts that we posted are correct, and the estimated Social Security and Medicare tax that you've paid. Next slide, please. So there are very stringent rules about setting up a My Social Security account. Of course, we want to make sure that you are protected and for security purposes. But there are things that you can do. You can assist someone in creating a My Social Security account if they are present with you and if they meet certain requirements, if they have their own email address, if they can answer certain out-of-the-wallet questions, and or if they've been appointed by a payee. Of course, there are situations where you cannot create a My Social Security account on behalf of another person. If you have a business relationship with that person, if you are a representative payee or an appointed representative, you cannot create a My Social Security account. But you can assist someone if they are present with you. Next slide. I just want to also briefly mention, because, of course, we understand that entering your Social Security number into any sort of application can be daunting. We do have some enhanced security measures to opening your My Social Security account. We continue to evaluate and improve how we protect what's important to you. We take that very seriously. We have a robust cybersecurity program in place to help protect your personal information that you entrust us with. We add additional security measures to safeguard your personal information by making our stuff, but we still try to make it easier to use. So it's a vital part of keeping you safe and secure. So there are multi-level of enhancements and authentication that we use when you are creating a My Social Security account. So we're committed to using the best technology and standards available to protect your data. And we just want to make sure that, you know, as you entrust us with that information, that we are doing the best to protect your resources. All right. And let's go to the next slide, please. We've made some enhancements to our online services, and, of course, that also affects My Social Security account creation and registration. Last year, we redesigned the retirement benefits portal, and that will help you prepare and apply for retirement. We have several calculators, very popular calculators that you may use. Once you create and going through a My Social Security account will help do that. The redesigned portal will make it easier for you to find and read about retirement benefits. You'll see the pages and clear information. We condensed and rewrote a lot of the pages to make them easier to understand. If you visit our retirement benefits portal, you can learn more about applying, managing your benefits, your potential benefits. And, of course, that is also an area where you can create your My Social Security account. We've updated the standardized benefit verification online letter. Sometimes we call it the budget letter or the benefits letter or proof of income letter. For a proof of award letter, we now have a new standardized benefit verification letter available where you need proof of Social Security benefits, supplemental security income, or Medicare. In addition to name, date, and birth, and benefits received, the new benefit verification letter includes other identifiers to help prevent misuse and fraud, which is also a huge initiative here at the agency, the prevention of fraud and abuse. The same standardized letter is also available if you need proof that you're not receiving benefits. Also, if you happen to serve as a representative payee, I just want to throw that in there, you can use the My Social Security representative payee portal to access the standard benefit verification letter online for your beneficiaries. And then a very recent update, the Social Security statement, we've added some new fact sheets. The Social Security statement, of course, is one of our most valuable tools to learn that you may use to learn about your earnings and your future Social Security benefits. A convenient way to access the statement, of course, is through My Social Security. We've added these new fact sheets to accompany the online statement. These fact sheets are designed to provide clarity and useful information based on your age group and earning situation. They can help you better understand our program and our benefits. So the fact sheets cover retirement planning, and that covers four different age groups, ages 18 to 48, 49 to 60, 61 to 69, and 70 plus. We have benefit information for workers with non-covered earnings who may be subject to the windfall elimination provision, or WEP, or the government pension offsite, workers who are not fully insured, workers with an intermittent work history, and new workers and Medicaid planning. The fact sheets help educate workers about Social Security so they can make informed decisions based on their specific situation. And, of course, again, you can access your online statements through your My Social Security account. Our next slide, please. I know many of you are familiar with opening a My Social Security account, but I felt like even wrapped, but I just didn't quickly mention how you do it again. You do visit ssa.gov, /my account. You select sign in or create an account. Provide some personal information. Those are the out-of-wallet questions that I mentioned earlier. You choose a username and password. And then, of course, you'll receive a security code, and that will help you access your account. Next slide, please. And just a little point of personal privilege, we wanted to share some information. We have created a new website. It's called Information for People Helping Others. It provides helpful information and resources and, of course, information on My Social Security in one place for anyone in a position to help another person access our programs and services. Of course, with the pandemic causing any hardships, we work closely to improve our service to our most vulnerable population. Next slide. And you can follow us on most social media hubs and channels. We have a Facebook page, a Twitter account, two Twitter accounts. You can reach us at ssa.gov or SSA Outreach, Instagram, LinkedIn, and YouTube. And that concludes my presentation, and I'll open it up for questions. I'll turn it over to Adele for questions.
Thanks, Debbie. We have quite a few questions in the chat already. But Christina, if you can help us out with any of those who want to ask questions over the phone line.
If you would like to ask a question, please signal by pressing *1 on your telephone keypad. If you are using a speakerphone, please make sure your mute function is turned off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. Again, press *1 to ask a question. And we'll pause for just a moment to allow everyone an opportunity to signal for questions.
Thanks, Christine. I do have a few questions. So while those queue up, DeAndre, there's a question. If my SSA account is a top priority, when would there be plans, do you know, to upload a BPPQY in the account for disability beneficiaries? I know that you're not a technical expert, but just to see if you have any answers for that one.
I'm sorry, I missed it. What were we questioning uploading?
Are we thinking that there's ever going to be BPQYs in the available
BPQY
to folks?
BPQY.
Mm-hmm.
I have not heard. I mean, of course, there are always enhancements coming down the pike, but I have not heard of that particular enhancement. But I could inquire and take that back as a takeaway.
No worries. We'll look into that.
Mm-hmm.
So I think there was a few other questions about that. We know that the phone number was provided earlier for Social Security for technical support. Just want to make sure that we provided the correct number.
Mm-hmm.
And if you have that number, if you could read that out for me to make sure I provided the right number.
Adele, I have it. It's 1-800-772-1213. And that is just
okay.
Toll-free SSA Teleservice Center number.
All Okay, so that was a question about, I think that's the only number for technical support that's available. Am I correct?
At this point,
yes.
Yeah.
Okay. And there was a question, what if an employee does not have the employer EIN? How would they get started using mysSA.gov to report wages?
If they don't have the EIN?
Yes, ma'am.
So before the health crisis, before the pandemic, we would say, visit our field office or contact our field office. I would defer and tell them to actually call the 1-800 number for instructions on that, because they would have to pull some additional information.
Okay. Christina, do we have any numbers, any questions on the phone line?
Yes, we'll take our next question from Jay Harner with Rose to Freedom.
Good afternoon. I was just wondering, what is the best way for a person who has a ticket that's already assigned for them to reassign it to a new establishment?
This is the downside. Could you repeat the question?
What is the best way for a consumer who currently has a ticket already assigned, but they would like to assign it to a new EN because the EN they are currently working with isn't supplying them the services they wish?
Oh, thank you. Thank you for your question. At this time, we're going to focus on questions from our guest speaker, so I'll hold this question till the end. I appreciate that. So I apologize if we did not mention that from the beginning, that these questions are for our speaker at the moment regarding my SSA account.
Okay, I'm sorry. Thank you.
No worries. Thank you. Christina?
There are no other questions on the phone line at this time.
Okay, so I do have another one from the chat. You mentioned enhancements for the future. What are there any requirements that allow or not allow someone to request a replacement Social Security card through My Social Security? Have you heard of any of that in the works?
I have not. That is a popular request that we receive, but I have not heard they've gotten there yet. But stay tuned. That hopefully will be something coming down the line, but not yet. Not yet.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you. So we'll have these questions, and if there's anything, we'll send over to you, see if you can help us out. What I'd like to do at this time is let's go ahead and turn this over to Terry Uttermole.
Thank you, Adele, and hello, everybody. I need to start with a confession. My computer crashed immediately before this call, and so I'm going to ask Adele to help me get through the slides because I don't have access to them. So do you mind reading the headings for me?
Not at all. So what Terry is going to cover is, what is work incentive counseling?
Okay. So what is work incentive counseling? One of the really important things that happen when people start earning money is that it affects a myriad of benefits that they may receive, including their Social Security benefits, supplemental security income, food stamps, housing. All kinds of things can change. And the web that all these different programs and all their different requirements creates can scare people. They may be afraid that they're going to lose their housing. They may be afraid that they're going to lose their food stamps or something else that they consider, especially health insurance, that they consider to be really important to their quality of life. And remember, as you all know, these are very vulnerable populations. These are people who may be living on a shoestring, and they're very afraid of that string breaking without support. So work incentives counseling is when a trained person who knows a lot about the benefits that the person may be receiving sits down with them and gets the information about what they're getting, does an analysis to figure out how the person's work goals would affect those programs, and then educates the person, helps them understand what they need to report, what will happen, when it will happen. And the goal is to provide accurate information to make work pay. Social Security has a program called the Work Incentives Planning and Assistance Program, and WIPA is what we affectionately call it. That might be the next slide, is it, Adele?
Uh-huh. I have it queued up. I'm following you. We'll
Thank
work together.
You. Okay, great. Work Incentives Planning and Assistance is a national program providing free work incentives counseling across the country. We have our funding comes from a law that was passed in 1999, and unfortunately, that funding has not increased since 1999. So we can't serve everybody who needs it, who would like to have the service. We don't turn them away, but we have goals to reach people who are most vulnerable for overpayment. So those are people who are working or people who are about to take a job. But it is it's a great program. We've worked very hard to help make sure that people get wonderful training from our partners at Virginia Commonwealth University. And I have Susan Amara as backup on the line in case I forget anything. So, and Susan is with Virginia Commonwealth University. So, anyway, WIPA we have 82 projects, and we're in the process of competing for new applicants, and I'll be talking about that in a minute. Adele, what's the next slide?
Requirements for training.
Okay. Because we can't afford to provide all of the funding for services that we want, we do allow community partners to attend training when there's room. And we give a priority to community partners who are our partners as employment networks. It's a real commitment. This is not something that you go for a day and you go, hey, I'm trained now, I know what I'm talking about. This is an extensive initial training, followed by testing, followed by a full certification process where the person has to submit analyses about their benefit, the benefits that real people get for review and grading, and in order to reach full certification. We've made it that intense because we really, these are very vulnerable people, and a lot of us, I know me for sure, thinks that no benefits counseling is better than bad benefits counseling, because if you give somebody misinformation, it can really wreck their work opportunity or their success at work and derail them and possibly make them never want to work again. So we really want to make sure that we're giving accurate information, and we require the same of our community partners. We also recently have begun requiring an introductory web course, and this is something that VCU created under our contract that is a really good light overview of what work incentives counseling is, what WIPA is, when it's appropriate to refer to WIPA, and what some of the Social Security work incentives are and how they're used. This is a requirement for anybody who wants to attend the training, and it's also a really good tool for people who will be working with people with disabilities, aren't going to be providing benefits counseling, but may want a general idea of how all this works. So you have to make a commitment. Say it again.
Oh, no, I thought we were transitioning into the next slide for the initial training.
The initial training is currently entirely remote, thank you, Adele. It's entirely remote. Once COVID makes it, we get past the point where it's unsafe, we will be offering some face-to-face trainings as well. It is it traditionally has been 5 days face-to-face. When COVID happened and traveling became unsafe, VCU did a wonderful job of turning on a dime and creating a 10-day initial training that replaces the 5-day face-to-face training. And then it's all done by Zoom, and it's a lot of information, but people have been doing it and have been doing very well in the classes. And after the initial training, there's testing, and there's quite a bit of testing. There's a week where multiple choice quizzes. Everything's open book because we want you to learn how to read a few takes. And then after that, there's written assignments. And then, as I said, once you receive certification, there are times and it's analysis.
Is that about getting into the classes? Those were the next few slides coming up. It sounds like you were talking a little bit about getting into the classes.
I was talking about the initial training index.
Okay.
The slide we're on right now?
Getting into a class.
Getting into the class.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Getting into the class, as I said, you need to make a commitment. You need to intend to provide benefits counseling at least 16 hours a week, and there's a reason for that. This is a very in-depth analytical service, and it's also a very perishable skill set. So we want people that we're investing in, because by sending people to training or allowing people to go to the training, we want them to make a commitment to use the information, and we want them to use the information frequently enough that they don't lose the accuracy that is critical to our beneficiaries. So they said you also have to take the introductory web course. You need to go onto the VCU website and request registration, and you may or may not get in because it's very popular. We have a lot of people who want to be in. And as I said earlier, if you are in an employment network, you have first priority after the Work Incentives Planning and Assistance Program. Let's go to the next slide, Adele. And Susan, if you would be prepped to fill in anything important that I've missed, I'd be really grateful. What is the title on the next slide, Adele?
Well, the next one is still talking about a little bit about getting into a class, about successfully completing the series. So I think you've covered that, and then the full certification.
Okay.
So next,
okay.
We're talking about the upcoming grant competition.
All right. I'm going to pause here. And, Susan, is there anything that you'd like to add?
I think you did a great job covering it. I've been kind of reviewing the information on the website just to be sure we weren't missing anything, and it looks, I think you've covered it, Terry. Great job.
Great, thanks. Thanks a lot. And Adele,
mm-hmm.
Thank you very much. There's only one slide on the grant
that's
competition.
The final slide. Mm-hmm.
Yep, and the reason there's only one slide is the point at which I created this presentation. We didn't know when the request for application would be posted. But the good news is that on Thursday, the 19th of February, we were able to post the request for application to grants.gov, which is where you would apply if you're interested in becoming a Work Incentives Planning and Assistance Provider. We are estimating that we will have 75 or so grantees. These replace the current grantees. We have to compete it every 5 years or so to make sure that we're getting new applicants, that it's a new cadre. It could be some of the same players, could be entirely new players. And we encourage ENs, VRs, community service providers to apply. And if you go to grants.gov, you will be able to find the application. We also have a website or an email address that you can write for information, which is SSA_TA@grantsreview.com.
If you can help me, I'm going to have that flash across. So when you're done, if you could repeat it for me, and I'll type it. that can flash across the screen for everyone.
Okay. Is it possible, actually, that I could send you a little note that you could send out to everybody instead of...
Hi, Terry.
Yes.
Terry, this is Marjorie. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Hi. Okay. I believe what you're trying to... the email address you're referring to is SSA_TA@grantreview.org.
Thank you.
And I will pop that in an email to Adele as we speak as well.
Thank you. Marjorie is my esteemed and invaluable colleague on this project. So, Marjorie, thank you very much. So if you have any questions, yes, Kara?
This is Kara. Adele, I already sent it to you.
Okay. And I believe I have it flashing across as SSA_TA@grantreview.org. Was that correct?
That is correct.
Okay, teamwork. So
that's
right now,
great.
Everyone should be able to see that going across their screen.
Okay. So we'll look forward to seeing applications from interested ENs, we'll look forward to your questions. If you are interested, feel free to write that address. Feel free to look on grants.gov for the SHIND. If you search for the word WIPA, W-I-P-A, you'll be able to find the application package and the request for application. The applications are due April 19th, and we will be having training calls for applicants, and we'll be posting FAQs on our website, which is, I'm going to say this one, Adele, if you want to have this one flash, it's WIPA, WIPA at SSA.gov.
WIPA at SSA.gov?
No, sorry. I did not have enough coffee this morning. It's www.
Okay.
.ssa.gov/work/WIPA.
Okay, so I didn't have any coffee today. So
www.ssa.gov/work/WIPA. WIPA. That's off the Ticket to Work website. You can also get to it from the homepage on the Ticket to Work website. And that's where we will be posting frequently asked questions. We have links there for the application for the grants.gov where you can register and where, again, we'll be posting FAQs and have announcements of training calls. And I'm going to pass back to you, Adele, for questions.
Okay, well, we do have quite a few questions, and Christine, if you can help us, if you can see if there's any questions on the phone line for Terry at this time.
And if you would like to ask a question, that is *1 to join the queue. And we do have a question in the queue from Jay Harner.
Sorry, my question referred to something earlier. I will ask it later on.
Okay, thanks, Kate. And as I mentioned, there are no questions, but I have a few here. So let's pull up some of those questions for Terry. And thanks again, everyone, for helping us out today. So if we already have the Work Incentive Practitioner Certification through Cornell, would we have to go through the CWIC training at VCU to do work incentive training for our EN?
Yes. Yes, we have we permit one training certification, and that's from our partners at Virginia Commonwealth University. It's just because we're not just teaching you about work incentives, but how the Social Security grant works and how we want the services to be provided. So even if the Cornell is a great background for people, any kind of benefits counseling that you've done in the past is good background, but yes, you have to go through the VCU training.
Okay, thanks, Terry. Terry, how long is the award good for, do you know, for the WIPA grant?
The awards begin to provide services July 1st of 2021 and will be continued through June 30th, 2026, pending availability of funds. It's an annual grant, so the first one goes from through 21 to 22, and then you do a continuation application every year, and this is a five-year award.
Okay. And just to make sure, this course certifies an employment network as a benefit planner. Is that correct?
Sort of. This course certifies the Virginia Commonwealth University initial training for work incentives planning and assistance. This is certifies an individual to become a work incentives counselor, either as a community partner work incentives counselor, if the person works for an EN and not for a work incentives planning and assistance program, or as a community work incentives coordinator, which is specific to our WIPA grantees.
Okay. And if we're a workforce EN, how could we access the training to partner better?
You, as a workforce EN, any community partner can apply for the training and go and receive certification. You could also, depending on how in-depth you want to go, if you want a lighter look at what WIPA is about, you would have to do this anyway to apply for the full training, I would check out the introductory web course. It's 6 lessons. It's free. You can get to it on the www.vcu-ntdc.org website. And if you need me to go through that, Adele, again, I will. It's
okay. Go ahead.
www.vcu-nt, as in Tom, D as in David, C as in Charlie, .org, and you can register for the introductory web course.
Okay, so I have www.vcu-, what was after that?
It's Z as in Victory, as in Virginia, right?
Mm-hmm, yes.
It's VCU, okay, -ntdc, which is the National Training and Data Center. .org.
All right. And that's going across the screen as we speak. Okay. Well, we thank you very much, Terry, for helping us out. And if we have any other questions, in which we do, we can filter those and we can see if we can get those answered for folks, okay?
Yes. And again, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Thanks for the help.
No, no.
And Marjorie and Susan and Kara.
And exactly. Very good. So what I'll do at this point, let's continue with our agenda, and we'll go ahead and hand this over now to Kara.
Good afternoon, everyone. I'm just going to give a few brief updates. So first, I want to talk about the A4, the Annual Performance Outcome Report, which is due this Friday, February 26th. If you are a VR agency or an American Job Center, you are excluded from filling it out. Or if you are an EN with 2020 or 2021 agreement award dates. Nobody else is exempt. Everyone must turn it in. And as of today, we only have about a 64% response rate. So you have 3 more days to get this in. The AAPOR questions and FAQs can be found on the Your Ticket to Work website under yourtickettowork.ssa.gov/resources/resource documents. If you need any help, you can always contact SSA ENAPOR at yourtickettowork.ssa.gov. And for the security awareness forms, the 222s, those are also due this Friday, February 26th. There is nobody excluded from those. Everybody must fill those out. If you have multiple staff, you just keep a copy of the 222 forms at, you know, on file at your EN location. We may ask for that at any time. The signatory authority or the suitability contact must submit the addendum form that lists all the staff that have completed the 222 form. If you are run by a single person, just submit the security awareness form 222. There is not an addendum required. And I cannot emphasize enough to get those everything in on time by this Friday. Every year, people don't do this very easy thing to do, and we terminate you. So we really hate doing that, but we must make sure you're abiding by the terms and conditions of your TPA agreement. So please make sure you get those in on time. I'm going to go into portal access, EN employment verification. Portal users must verify their employment every 6 months. And if you don't do that, it kicks you out of portal. So just to maintain your portal access, please remember to do that. You should receive a notification about 2 weeks prior to being locked out. To verify your employment, just send an email to enservice@ssa.gov. with the subject line employment verification and your DUNS number. There's two options. First, a single user can send an email from a company email address stating they are still employed. Or option two, you can send one email listing all active employees with portal access. And that is all I have. I will turn it over to Jamie.
Thanks, Kara. Good afternoon, everyone. This is Jamie Pendergraft. Adele, can you move on to the next slide, please? So I will be giving a ticket outreach update this afternoon. Let's see. It looks like my slides may not have made it in. There they are. Okay, thank you. So to start off with, I did want to talk some about our success stories. And we get lots of questions about our stories and criteria and things like that. And Ticket to Work success stories are real stories about actual Social Security beneficiaries who work with ENs or VR agencies or both and share stories about their work experience after they have worked their way off of benefits. And we do encourage you to share these stories on social media or in your newsletter to show some positive outcomes for the ticket program. We find that by sharing individual stories, it's a way for people to relate to others like themselves who maybe thought that they couldn't get off benefits and they were able to do so and are now working full-time and achieving other goals. Next slide, please. We do encourage employment networks to submit information about success story candidates. We do have two different types of success stories. One is just what we refer to as a success story. Those feature individuals who have achieved financial independence, so they have worked their way completely off of benefits and have been off of them for a certain amount of time with the help of the ticket program. And then we also have stepping stone stories. And those feature people who have made a major step on the path to financial independence. Maybe they have gone to college and gotten a degree, or they have started working but aren't quite off benefits yet, but they have made some sort of major life step towards getting off of benefits and financial independence. So if you know anyone or if anybody comes to mind that you think we should feature as a success story, We do encourage you to send their information with a little bit of a blurb about them to stories@cheesework.ssa.gov. Don't include any PII in that email. We'll follow up with you to get additional info that we need and any extra details about their story. But if you do have an idea, please let us know. We're always looking for new candidates. Next slide, please. Our most recent success story came out last week, and it was a story about Rob, who is actually one of our very oldest success stories, and we checked in with him to see how he was doing. He was once on Social Security disability benefits due to some kidney issues, and he did have a life-threatening illness due to those issues. But now he's back on his feet, and he's employed full-time, and he was actually able to repurchase his family farm and home that was one of his major goals after he went back to work. So I do encourage you to check out that updated success story and share it. You should have received a Gov delivery message with some social media content in there about how to share and spread the word about that message. If you didn't, you can always send an email to stories@choosework.ssa.gov, and we'll be happy to send you some materials. The next slide, please. Our next item of discussion is our Ticket to Work fact sheets. We have published two fact sheets since I last presented on an All-EN call. One is Medicaid and Medicare employment supports, and these talk about how extra income from work will affect a person's Medicare and Medicaid. And this one has actually been very popular. So if you do have beneficiaries who have questions about this, and I'm sure you do, we encourage you to take a look at this fact sheet and share it with them, either in physical form or electronically, and encourage them to learn more about the different work incentives out there related to Medicaid and Medicare. The second publication that we have released since the last All-EN call is the Trial Work Period fact sheet. And this is not exactly new, but it does now include 2021 information and numbers. So that has been updated and is available online at the link in the presentation. Next slide, please. Every All-EN call, you hear me talk about our WISE webinars. Our next one is actually tomorrow to review. The WISE webinars are our online monthly events, which are held for people ages 18 through 64 who receive Social Security disability benefits. We also get a lot of family members, friends, and providers who join, not just ticket providers, but other disability organizations who listen in to learn more information about the program. And every month we talk about the ticket program and other work incentives. The WISE webinars are fully accessible, and we always strive to make sure that they stay that way. So if anybody ever has any feedback about how to improve accessibility of our webinars, feel free to let us know. The webinars are generally on the fourth Wednesday of every month. And again, this is something that you all get notified of via Gov delivery. We do send out sample social media messages, and we do encourage you to also follow our social media so that you can repost and reshare our posts about the WISE webinars. So we do appreciate those of you who do share them, and we encourage those of you who do not to actually to start sharing. It's very helpful if you share. And it's also an opportunity to kind of get the message out about Ticket to a large audience before they start coming in and you're answering the same questions over and over again about the program. We at least get the idea of the Ticket program into folks' heads before they make contact with you all to get some of those basic questions answered. Next slide, please. As I mentioned, our next webinar is tomorrow afternoon at 3 o'clock Eastern Time. All our webinars are 90 minutes. Tomorrow's topic is expanding your job search with Ticket to Work. We'll be talking about apprenticeships, federal hiring, and Section 503. Our presenter is Ray Cibula from Cornell University. We encourage you to register at choosework.ssa.gov/wise. And you can also view previous webinars. We go back about 6 months online at our WISE On Demand website. And lastly, I do just encourage you to stay in touch. We've provided all of our social media accounts here. If you don't already follow us, I encourage you to do so and take a look and see if there's any content you'd like to share. And with that, I will hand it back over to Adele.
Thank you very much for all that information, Jamie. And I think what we'll do is we'll go ahead and open up the lines for questions that folks may have that we have not yet addressed. Christina, if you can help us with that, please.
And if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. We'll take our first question from Sandra Abbott with Abbott and Associates.
Good afternoon, everybody. I have a question in regards to the WIPA grant. If you are an EN and you go through the training and you pass, can an EN also be apply for this WIPA grant program?
So this is Tara. You may apply, however, if you were granted the award to be a WIPA and you're an EN, there must be a firewall. So in other words, the same people cannot work on the EN side of your house as working on the WIPA side.
Okay. Okay. And then the second question I have is for the training support services that I believe for the WIPA grant, does it also include how to prepare a projected budget?
Terry, are you still on? Or Marjorie? I know that this is Carol. I know there's information about the budget in there, but I don't know if it actually tells you how to prepare it. But we can, if you want to send that question in, we can definitely get back to you on that.
Okay, and where do I send the question to?
You can send it to, let me look, give me 2 seconds. Send it to WIPA@SSA.gov.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Sandra. Christina, any other questions in the phone queue?
Yes, we'll go to our next question from Jamal Lambert.
Hi, can you hear me?
Yes.
Oh, awesome. Hello, good afternoon. I have a more technical question. The doctor should probably take the benefits counseling training. I have a customer who has been employed. Her current employer will not allow her to use the employee's and health insurance while she's currently enrolled in Medicare Part A, and she wants to know if she can withdraw from Part A without having to repay her cash benefits.
So, Adele, that sounds like a benefits counseling question, and I'm wondering if Susan O'Mara is still on the phone.
Yeah, well,
okay.
This is Adele. I believe that Terry and Susan have dropped off, but we can forward the questions and see if we can help out that way or using the email
provided. I think it would be a question for VCU, and they do provide technical assistance. So I don't know if you or someone in your organization has been certified through the VCU training, but they do provide ongoing technical assistance to organizations that receive the training and certification. So you can contact VCU directly if you have those types of questions. And we do have the National Training Center information. And Adele, I think we gave that website earlier. Did we not? The link?
The VCU website?
Yeah.
Yes, I would have to pull that up.
Okay. So if you can find it, great. But what we can do is circle back to you and refer that information to you.
Oh, but that would be greatly appreciated. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for your question.
And we'll go next to Jay Harner with Roads of Freedom, or Roads to Freedom.
Hi. This is more of a statement than a question. When they were talking earlier about the Social Security replacement card on the My Social Security site, I actually was able to get a replacement card about 3 weeks ago, and it only took me about a week to get it in the mail. So if anybody's having difficulties with that, I thought it was pretty easy. That's just my personal experience.
Oh, well, thank you for sharing that.
Take another question from Sandra Abbott.
Two questions, actually. The first question is there a listing of job boards that deal with hiring specifically disabled individuals?
Hi, Sandra. This is Jamie Pendergraft, and we actually have a resource somewhat related to that on the choosework.ssa.gov page. And it's called Find a Job. So it's choosework.ssa.gov/find-a-job. And we do list a bunch of different resources and organizations that are job boards, and we call out which ones provide specific diversity-related topics and opportunities. So I'd encourage you to take a look at that.
Okay. And then the other question I have, I get this response from a lot of potential participants for the Ticket to Work program. They tell me that they are apprehensive because somebody's telling them, or they read it somewhere, you know, dealing with the SGA, and they're afraid to, take more work hours because they're very scared that they're going to lose their benefits. And I was wondering if anybody knows when the information goes out to potential beneficiaries for this program, is that information dealing with the SGA, is it listed somewhere? Because they're all saying it.
So this is Robert Paff. I think the best one recommendation would be, you can certainly, I don't know if you're familiar with SSA's Red Book. It's fairly technical, but it does explain SSA's work incentives, in pretty good detail. So that might be one option. But certainly if you can refer your client to your local WIPA project for services, if you have a beneficiary that's assigned to you who has these questions, that would be probably the best bet in terms of having a certified benefits counselor sort of walk your client through how work impacts their various benefits. And really, it's a technical program, but having that, having someone explain those work incentives is probably going to be helpful in that situation.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Sandra.
It appears there are no further questions at this time.
Okay, appreciate that. We do have a few questions here in the chat. The earning estimator tool, is that going to be updated soon, or have we already done that? We're looking for knowing if we have an update for the earnings estimator tool. 2021.
No, that one I wouldn't know. That's pretty technical. I don't know if anybody from the team would have
Rob,
that information.
Rob, I think that might be a Katie question. That might be something for Katie.
It could be, yeah. She's not on the line, though.
Well, got it. Okay. Well, we'll see if we can let Katie know about that question. There's a question about if you're receiving SSDI and you get a job, do you have to report your wages? And if I report my wages, is money taken out of my SSDI check?
Adele, can you repeat that
question?
So
I'm trying to interpret the way that the question is being asked so that it makes sense. If you're receiving SSDI and you get a job, do you have to report wages? And if I report my wages, is money taken out of my SSDI check?
This is Patrice. So it is the responsibility of every beneficiary or disability recipient, whether they're receiving Title II or Title 16, or I'm sorry, SSI or SSDI, to report any start in employment, any stop in employment, and any change in their wages. So as a rule of thumb, we encourage individuals to report when they start work, stop work, or if there's a change or fluctuation in their wages. So my general response to that would be yes. Of course, Rob mentioned the Red Book, and if we are an EMR or VR, it would be great to take a look at the Red Book because there are resources that tell you how your benefit might be impacted with additional earnings.
Thank you. Okay, I'm scanning through because I know we don't have our work incentives folks on the line. For the FSA 222, if we add a staff member later in the year, do we just submit another addendum at that time?
This is Carrot. No, you would actually send in his 222 or her.
Very good.
Another question on the phone, if you'd like to take that.
Oh, please. Go ahead.
We'll take our next question from Paul Womack with Lafayette Consolidated Government. Lauren, go ahead. Your line is open. We're unable to hear you. Please check your...
Hello? Can you hear me?
There we go.
Hello? Okay,
I'm sorry. No worries.
I'm just a little bit confused about the grant versus allowing individuals to take the class to be certified. Can REN apply for the grant only if we have someone ready to go that can provide those services when the award date is prepared, like when the award date comes? Or is this to get us prepared and get us trained to provide the WIPA services?
We thank you for the question. And as I said, the folks that we had helping us are not – go ahead. Go ahead, Rob.
Yeah, I don't know if Karen wants to chime in. What I would recommend is that you go to the grants.gov page to look for the RFA, and the requirements are in the announcement. So in other words, applications that would be interested in applying, it spells out in the request for application what your organization would need in order to be considered, for your application to be considered for a WIPA project. I think that, and please don't hold me to this, but I don't think that you necessarily have to have staff that is trained and certified at the date of award. I think you have to have some kind of demonstrated experience providing similar services in your organization in some way, shape, or form. But again, not having it in front of me, please don't hold me to that. Okay.
The only question was, well, I work as part of a city government, and so I see that the benefits planning would be a benefit to our whole department that does other things as well. So I was just wondering if it was just primarily for a ticket to work, or if this was like another avenue that we could connect. So thank you.
So that's a good. No, that's a good question. And the, so the WIPA grant, whatever the funding that is provided through the WIPA grant has to be used to provide those services to SSA beneficiaries. But it's also, mm-hmm. There's local benefits, there's local impact on, things such as housing and so forth and so on.
Right. So that's why I see it as not just benefiting our program, but as a city. So thank you. Yeah, you answered my question.
Okay, good.
Thanks for chiming in on that one, Rob. No questions at this time in the phone queue? All right.
And no questions at this time.
Okay. If a client hasn't reported any wages in 2020, is it okay to send the 401k now to Social Security?
Can you say that again, Adele?
Sure. If a client hasn't reported any wages in 2020, is it okay to send? And it reads the 401k now at SSA, so I'm not sure if that's what the intent was to ask the question that way.
And my understanding of the question is, and I could be wrong, that as Patrice was stating earlier, wages should be reported as soon as possible.
Okay, sounds definitely. Anything they have to report for those earnings, they should do it as soon as it's available to them. Okay, I think we've answered the question about training. Christina, any questions on the phone line?
There's still no questions at this time.
If I'm assisting someone, how can I help them proceed if they do not have their, and I'm not sure what the question, out of the wallet information? So if that person can maybe chime in and help us better understand the question. If I'm assisting someone, how can I help them proceed if they do not have their out of the wallet information?
Adele, this is where I think that refers to the MySSA presentation, and probably the person would be better off calling the 800 number that we provided.
Okay.
I think the out-of-wallet question refers to those that the speaker was talking about.
Well, thank you for helping me out with that one.
Sure.
Okay, can a transitional student and or adult go to school and go to work part-time and not lose their SSI benefits?
This is
Adele, again,
a work incentive question.
They need to go to their local WIPA to get benefits counts.
Okay, and I know we don't have Terry, but I think we may know how to address this question. I want to become a certified benefits counselor. Will the Virginia Commonwealth University that Terry was speaking
certify me as a benefit counselor?
Yes. If you go through all the training and pass all the tests, then you are certified. And I just want to also say that that certification doesn't last forever, that you do have to keep up with it. So we do require that ENs, in order to be listed on the website as a certified benefits counselor, send us their updated certificates every year.
Okay, Christina, do we have any questions on the phone line?
Another question from Sandra Abbott.
Yes, thank you. I have a question. You have a marketing, I think it's a marketing program where you receive a listing of potential participants who may be eligible for the Ticket to Work program. And I think if I remember correctly, you had to contact a certain percentage of people. So my question is, for that percent of people that's required to be contacted, do they have to be just contacted or do they have to be employed? Thank you.
So so let me clarify a couple things. So participation, we do have a marketing business process employment networks that can conduct outreach and have the resources to conduct outreach, whether it's phone calls, whether it's sending letters, whether it's text messaging, whatever, can participate. We set a goal of approximately 1% assignment rate. So in other words, you can request a file, minimum size file is 5,000 records. So it would be 5,000 beneficiaries, and we would ask that you try to, the goal being that over the next, 90 to 120 days, you would try to assign 1% of that file. So it would be around 50 new clients from that file. So I hope that clarifies your question. Does that answer your question?
Yeah, so in other words, you're saying when you say assign, you're talking about processing the IWP and bringing them on board as potential clients. Is that right?
Yep, that's correct.
Okay, thank you.
Go to our next question from Jay Harner.
Hi again. I just had a quick question.
Uh-huh.
So I did the initial WIPA training to get the certification, or whatever you want to call it, to go to the main course, the course that's 2 hours a day, or 2 hours a day, twice a day. And I got a reply back stating that I wasn't approved because we don't supply enough counseling to warrant being in the course. Now, I heard they say they want us to do at least 16 hours of counseling a week to be allowed into the course. Are there any exceptions for that if a smaller EN would like to be able to get that counseling, they get that certification?
We can certainly find out. I can't say off the top of my head. But Kara, did you want to say something?
Yeah, and that is a general requirement. But if you want, you can send it to me, even your question. Just tell me which EN you are, and your DUNS number would be helpful. Can I just ask you, how many tickets, if you know off the top of your head, do you have assigned right now?
Right now, I have 28.
Okay. So, I would just write that in and also say, just in your guesstimate, how many hours a week do you think you would be doing benefit counseling? And just for a background knowledge, when we were doing in person prior to COVID and it was tight fitting people in, so we wanted to make sure we saved that space, for people who were, we were getting the most bang for our buck, for lack of better words. So now it's all virtual. and we can definitely reach out to more people. So it's not like we're going to make a general exception, but we can definitely make some exception.
Okay. Thank you. I thought I would just ask.
Yeah. If you just send it to Ian Service and ask them to send it to Kara, I will get it.
Okay. Thank you, Kara.
Here, there are no further questions at this time.
Okay. Thanks for checking for us. There's a question about a WIPA firewall and how that applies to WIPA doing benefit counseling with our clients. Does anyone have any information about a WIPA firewall?
This is Kara. I'm not sure I understand the question.
Okay.
So, I mean, there is the requirement is that if you are, and we have several of them, if you are a WIPA and an EN under the same organizational umbrella, there must be a firewall between the two organizations. So you could have the same, let's just say, signatory authority if they're not a hands-on type of person, you know, in both. But the people actually doing the services cannot be the same people for the WIPA and the EN under that organization. And that's a WIPA rule more so than an EN rule. So.
Okay. Thanks. I thought we had discussed that previously. Okay. Well, we are at approaching 2 minutes to the half hour. And Rob, you have any closing comments?
Adele, did you just throw that to me?
Apologies. Yes. Rob, do you have any closing comments for us today? I was just going through the questions to make sure that we covered as much as we could.
Okay. So thank you all for your participation. As was stated earlier in the call, we encourage you to consider participating, having someone from your organization participate in the VCU training, you know, to become certified in benefits counseling. We're trying to expand the number of organizations that are available to provide those services with the understanding that the expectation is that once you're trained and certified that you will be, you know, providing those services to disabled beneficiaries. The second part of that piece is for the new request for application for the WIPA projects grants. You know, we encourage you to consider applying for those grants. They're 5-year grants. We're looking for as many good organizations providing those services as possible. So we ask that you take a look at the announcement on the grants.gov page and consider whether your organization has the qualifications and would be a good fit to provide those services. And that's all I have to say. So thank you all. Adele, would you like to announce the next date for call?
Oh, for sure. Our next call is May 18th. And again, thanks to everyone for their participation and for all those speakers who helped us provide information today. Everyone, have a great rest of the day.
That concludes today's call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.